From the clouds of the highest mountains, from the corners of the earth, two men have traveled leagues to bring you welcome to the Eagle Boys, Drew Ladd and Nick Huber. Overkill.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Eagle Boys. Once again, my name is Nick.
My name is Drew.
And once again, we have with us Colin Craig with us as a special guest today. So great to have you back on the podcast, Colin.
Glad to be here.
Absolutely. So I'm thinking that Drew had some news for us because he's been saying it all night. He had something he wanted to tell us.
Yeah.
That apparently we're not ready for.
No, it has nothing to do with anyone else. It's just you.
Oh, I thought it had to do with all of us.
So I'm going to explain this to Colin. So for 6 months ago, Nick got a rose put on his car. Cool. And he was freaking out about it. So the past couple weeks...
It was you son of a bitch. I saw the DL on my car. I saw that where you did the thing. Yeah. You jackass.
So like, I didn't put the original rose, though. Someone put a rose on his car. It wasn't me.
What?
So 6 months later, I was like, I'm going to just put roses on his car, freak him out a little bit. So I put like three roses on his car.
Two. And you put two roses on my car, and you jackass.
He came into my apartment.
I am going to fucking strangle you.
He was like, dude, I'm going to be sex trafficked. Like, he was...
I'm going to kill you.
I'm sorry, dude.
I'm going to kill you.
Is that what that means? I was going to tell you.
What?
Is that what that means?
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that. I actually didn't know about that until... I posted about it the first time, which you didn't do. I don't really believe you, but...
Wait, what?
I'm sure you did the first one, too. You're lying through your teeth.
6 months ago?
Yeah.
No, I did not do that one.
You're lying through your teeth.
I will put that on my child's life. I didn't do that one.
Okay, whatever. Anyway.
I really didn't do it.
Okay. But, like, I posted that on my story because I actually thought it was, like, a really nice, beautiful gesture that somebody did that, you
and
know,
and it turned into a nightmare.
And then I posted that on my story, and this girl slid up on my story and was like, "Do not fucking smell that rose." And I was like,
"Oh, okay.
What? Like, what are you talking about? Why?
I've heard of
like,
this.
Why would I do? Why would I not do that?
Yeah,
you know." And she was just like, "If you smell that rose, there's probably chloroform in it. It'll knock you out, and they'll just come get you."
Yep.
You know,
chloroform takes a few minutes to knock you out.
Exactly. But like you would smell it and then a few minutes later you're out.
Well, you have to constantly smell it for a few. Like they show that in action films or whatever, or like mysteries or in crime. But like it's not real. There are other compounds. There's like other chemicals that will make you pass out pretty quick.
Well,
but,
then,
but
yeah. So like
takes a little bit.
Whatever compound it would be.
Yeah.
That would be like chloroform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To knock you out pretty quickly.
Yeah, I've heard
if inhaled.
I have heard that if there's something left on your car, you don't touch it.
Yeah.
It's not
a good thing.
Yeah, it's
tickets on your car.
Somebody's trying to get you.
Throw them away.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Throw them away.
Get gloves on and throw them away. Yeah.
But no, that rose gave me the idea to do it, and then I've been thinking about it for months and I was like, no, that's fucking crazy. I'm not going to do it. And then I was like, fuck it.
I fucking hate you so much, dude.
I went to Meijer.
Worth it.
Were the roses in your fucking apartment and I didn't see them?
They're in my apartment right now. And I had to hide them because I was like, what if he looks in my room? So I had to...
Oh my God, you had to hide them. I hate you.
I know, it sounds crazy when I say it, but
I kind of hate you right now.
It was a master plan, though.
That is pretty masterful. You had... Like, dude, I don't think you understand. You had me thinking about that for days.
I'm sorry, dude. Like, I know, I felt bad days. After I did it. I felt bad.
I was
like,
thinking about that for days, dude.
I was
dude.
Like, did I go too far with this? And then I was like, well, I have to tell him. I can't just not tell him.
I'm going to kill you one day.
Colin, what do you think about that? Do you think I made a bad choice there?
Oh, boy. no comment.
Okay, oh, he's not even going to. No. You are wild for that, my friend.
I know. Trying to take a drink, I'm gonna laugh.
So I think you're probably regretting being on this podcast now, aren't you? That's kind of what I'm getting from this.
Oh no, I'm having a blast.
I love it. I love it.
No, but so the last time we spoke, we had a podcast and it got, you know, all messed up. I lost the file. Sorry about that. We spoke a lot about consciousness. We can expand on that, you know, again, if you want to, if you have, you know, anything, you know, pertaining to that, if you want. But honestly, last time I think I told a story about like, ancient Mesopotamia. I do remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want to tell it again, but it's a long story.
I'm not going to lie. Like halfway through that, I can't even lie to you. I like zoned out.
Yeah.
I can't even lie to you.
So, I mean, we can start on consciousness if you want. Is there anything like specific you wanted to get into?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, we kind of went through most of it last time,
which yeah.
you know, people won't get to see, obviously.
Unfortunately. So it
depends on how badly you want that. You
know? We actually do still have the audio.
Well,
we
special.
Don't have the video, but we still have the audio.
Special audio episode for Patreon subscribers only.
Yeah, so that's actually a good idea.
I'm
yeah,
just saying.
We should just because putting on the audio is, you know, it's easy. It's what, like
exactly
20 megabytes or something?
Something like that.
So there's, I was looking at this story and it was about a doctor who accidentally put, so he was supposed to do a spleen surgery, but he accidentally took out the
guy's liver.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Did you hear about that?
I mean, I saw it in the headlines.
I'm
can
sorry.
We look that up real quick?
What?
I kind of want to look into that. Oh, you didn't know about
Jesus
that?
Jesus.
This is why
Christ.
Malpractice insurance is through the roof.
Let's look at it.
It's because there are people out there that can't tell the difference. They have a doctorate or whatever, or PhD, and they can't tell the difference between a liver and a spleen when they're inside of someone.
I'm fucking flabbergasted.
Do you guys hear static?
A little bit.
Just white noise.
Why'd that happen? That's
weird. Someone got turned up a little bit. Here, Colin, move your mic more towards you.
You fixed it. You guessed right.
That lowered it, yeah.
There we go.
But yeah, no, it's crazy. And apparently he has a past where...
Holy shit.
Of course it's Florida.
It had to be Florida. A Florida man today mistakenly removes patient's liver.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
No, dude, Brian Williams, 70, of Muscle Shoals, Alabama, underwent surgery on August 21st at Ascension Sacred Heart Emerald Coast Hospital. Jesus Christ, that's a name. In Miramar, Florida, because of spleen abnormalities. According to a statement from the personal injury firm, I'm not going to read that.
Zarzar?
Zarzar. Sounds like a villain in the He-Man fucking universe.
It does a little bit.
Zarzar.
Zarzar and Skeletor. BFFs.
Total BFFs, dude. Based in Pensacola, Florida, the warrant, the Walton County Sheriff's Office, in coordination with other authorities, said that statement from William Bryan and his wife, Beverly Bryan, were in the sun. Okay, where does it get to talking about? Oh, Dr. Shanowski removed Mr. Bryan's liver and, in doing so, transected into major vascular... Jesus Christ, you're the scientist, Drew. Read this.
Vasculature supplying the liver, causing immediate and catastrophic blood loss, resulting in the death.
Yeah.
So the surgeon proceeded with labeling the removed liver specimen as a spleen, and it wasn't until following the death that it was identified that the organ removed was actually Mr. Bryan's liver as opposed to the spleen. So I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, like, the main thing was that he cut through. The guy bled to death.
Yeah, that's insane.
Also, you die if you don't have a liver. But
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're gone if you don't have a liver.
If your liver doesn't work, you have to be put on a dialysis machine.
And it's so weird that they would give such an important organ such a stupid name. A liver.
I mean, it makes sense, right?
You know?
I mean, I think the liver performs over like 300 functions.
It does, but yeah. Like, they had nothing better than liver. You know,
I'm sure it has some kind of like, let's look up the
like, dude, they called a part of your brain the medulla oblongata, and that's all they got for that thing.
Well, I'm sure you got to think about people in like the 1700s and 1800s when they found out about this stuff. Like, you know, they called things
the liver.
This is what it makes you live.
Keeps you alive.
Yeah.
Stupid as fuck.
Well, I would guess. I don't know, but I would guess that it comes from making the connection like, oh, that stuff we eat that's in the goose that's really delicious. It's the same thing, but in humans. Like,
I thought about
people
that. Been,
you know, people were eating goose liver before they knew that humans had a liver.
Does anyone really eat liver in onions anymore? Like, is that still like a thing? Like, because I remember
probably
that being
some
like,
places.
Yeah, I feel sure. Like that was like the cartoon like version of just like a gross fucking meal.
I mean, I have friends that you are know? Foodies and they like goose liver pate. I refuse to try isn't
that called foie gras? Isn't that what they're called? Yeah. So apparently that's like.
I've never had that.
That's like a really expensive, like bougie food. It's like up there with caviar.
Like, it's just like really fatty, you know.
There was a
fatty and salty.
There was like a fad going on where it was called the Liver King guy. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah.
Where he was talking about eating organ meat. Do you think there's actually any like benefit to eating organ meat?
Yes. I mean, in small amounts, yeah, because there's. You know, there's nutrients in there that are available in higher levels and probably more bioavailable than in other forms. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's really complicated.
Is that why we eat tongues?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't eat tongues.
So we can taste better?
I think tongue is a delicacy. I'm pretty sure the number one delicacy was buffalo tongue or something.
No, it's buffalo balls, dude.
No,
Rocky Mountain oysters.
Blue Mountain, or yeah, Mountain oysters.
Rocky Mountain oysters.
Rocky Mountain oysters.
Look up bison tongue. 1800s,
1800 Alabama.
Number one food. And type in bison. I don't think it's buffalo. I'm pretty sure those are different animals, right?
No, they're the same.
Right. But no, I don't think I could eat a bison tongue. I don't think I could do it.
I've never had bison.
Yes, bison tongue was a delicacy in the 1800s. During the 1800s, bison tongues were a highly sought after delicacy in European markets.
It's kind of weird.
Holy shit. Isn't it crazy how we just wiped out all the fucking buffalo and all, like, I
weird
think
flex.
We also wiped out the passenger pigeon. Did you know about that? Mm-hmm.
We also wiped out the dodo. I would have loved to have one of those things as a pet.
Yeah, those
one of those
are cool.
Stupid little things that has no right to, you know, be in the food chain because it can't defend itself.
So you were just
it didn't have any natural predators on the island.
Exactly, yeah, so, until we arrived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it had predators.
Yeah. And we wiped it out.
Invasive species, my friend.
That's us.
You were talking about the fucking the what market, housing market?
Yeah.
Just a second ago. What were you saying about that?
So we all know that housing prices went up dramatically after COVID, and nobody really knows why. But there's an economist I was listening to. I forget his name. I can find it later and you can link it in the shit. But he was talking about how basically it was just the result of the ultra rich getting a huge cash infusion, because when the government did the COVID stimulus and just basically gave out a bunch of money, it really helped people out. But mostly it was like paying for rent and groceries. Like, people didn't keep that money because they needed to spend it. Well, it got a lot of people through the pandemic that would have otherwise ended up homeless or starving. So yeah, I think that's a good move. But the problem is that the long-term side effect is that all that money trickled up, because money trickles up, not down. And so it ended up being a huge payday for the, you know, the people that own this country. And then they've got all this extra money and they're like, what the hell do we do with it?
Yeah.
We buy more assets. And the housing market has always been somewhat of a speculative type thing.
I should have invested when we were getting those stimulus checks. I didn't know.
I
spent on stupid shit. That's,
but most people couldn't afford to invest it, right? Because they were already just like barely keeping their heads above water.
I worked through the whole pandemic.
I did too.
I worked in a factory. Yeah. And I wish I would have just quit and got those checks.
I actually worked at a restaurant, but it was a really sweet deal that I had with him. It was just me back there. Maybe I had one other person sometimes. We did to-go orders only, and literally all we would do all day was cook food, listen to music, drink, and just basically just chill and like watch TV. It was the best time. I'm not gonna lie.
I did all my work remotely over Zoom. because my job works over Zoom. It's not great. It's much better in person.
Yeah.
But
I've always liked jobs better in person.
I get tutored for like my inorganic chemistry class over Zoom, and it works, but it's better than
nothing.
Right. But there's some, my schedule is so tight. I have three jobs. So it's like sometimes I have to.
Yeah.
Because I can't make it from UC to UC Blue Ash in time. So then I have to stay at UC and then do Zoom so that I can get that, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It's pretty tight sometimes. But going back to COVID, do you think that the lockdowns were a good thing? Or do you think they were a necessary thing? Do you think like that should have happened? Or do you think that the lockdowns were excessive and didn't help? Because I'm kind of interested in what you think about that. You also don't have to answer.
No, it's really complicated. I don't know. I don't think anybody knows because there's a lot of conflicting data. I mean, I think China's a really good example of the lockdowns. Like, they were very strict about it.
Oh, they were like, you couldn't leave your shit.
And it worked for a long time until the people had enough. And then it backfired spectacularly. So it's
why do you think it backfired though?
Well, because people rebelled against it ultimately. Like it ended up breaking down and they gave up on it because they couldn't keep people in their houses any longer.
Do you think there would be a better way to control like a pandemic?
It's really tough because what you need is really good coordination between the control part of your government, the healthcare part of your government, and the public. You need good communication. And there was, the World Health Organization did a terrible job communicating because it was an emerging, evolving science, and there's still tweets out there that you can find, I think deleted, but you can find records of tweets of the WHO saying, COVID is not airborne.
Yeah.
And it turned out it was, they were just wrong because we didn't, the data wasn't, it's really complicated, but they were wrong. And the science has since been updated. Right. But it had to do with their messaging strategy, which ultimately probably didn't respect the public enough. But then on the other hand, you've got vast amounts of misinformation being spread. So they feel a really strong need to come out with a firm, like, people want an answer. We got to give them an answer. Mm-hmm. So it's almost an impossible problem because there's already fraying trust between the public and institutions. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to, convey good information to people while that information is constantly being updated because the science is being updated because that's how science works. You don't just get the answers overnight. I was saying during the pandemic, we're not going to fully understand this thing for another decade.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. You can't do virology research during an active pandemic and expect to have it all figured out before the pandemic.
Also,
over.
Like, I mean, dude, you had to like do something to our country that never happened. You know what I mean? Shut this bitch down. That wasn't a thing since 1776.
I think
that wasn't a thing since fucking Christopher Columbus came through.
Well, there was the
what's the
purple flu, the influenza outbreak of when was that?
1912.
It's called the Spanish flu, but I try not to. Was it 1912?
I think it was 1912.
Yeah, I don't know how I just remembered that.
I get a better memory than I do. I don't remember how that. I've never read about it. I don't know how that was handled. If they tried to do lockdowns or what?
1918. Sorry, I was wrong.
Okay.
Well, at that point,
isn't that World War One?
Yes.
Is that during World War
19? It was after, I think. Yeah.
Okay, between World War One and World War II, or between the wars. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because World War II began in 1939.
I think that the way that the government, sometimes I struggle with the idea of is it really just a clusterfuck of people just making choices, or do you think there's an overall kind of like intention by the government to control information, or do you think it's just a clusterfuck of politicians trying to make shit work?
Both.
At the same time?
Both. Yes. And that's why there's so many people that are conspiracy theorists these days.
But how do you make sense of it? We live in a time of like illusion.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you make sense of anything?
Okay. So
you go to work and that's it. And you come home and you fucking jerk off or whatever you do. And how do you make sense of the whole world as an adult?
Yeah,
you know?
It's really tough. I mean, and that's one of the fundamental problems is people don't know how to make sense of the world anymore. They don't know how they fit into the world. They don't know where they belong. They don't have a sense of purpose. I mean, look at how many jobs we have that are just, they feel meaningless. Like, yeah, you're getting a paycheck, but people need more than just a paycheck to survive, right? If you're doing work and you're making enough money to survive, great. But that's still going to leave you with this unplaceable longing for meaning.
That's why I do
that
this.
Money can't fulfill. Exactly.
That's why
so,
I do this.
So people, you know, we call it a hobby or whatever, you know, or a side hustle if you can make money doing it. But people have this void of meaning in their lives.
I've been thinking about that a lot.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what.
It's kind of funny you say that too. I've been kind of had that on my mind like for a couple of years now.
I think it's on everybody's mind and they don't always have the words to talk about it. And then when you see like, you know, these horrible acts of violence, I think that's a manifestation of this unplaceable longing. And I think one of the big problems, so I realized
you say manifestation of violence, but like, what do you mean?
No, mass shootings.
Okay. You know, that's what I thought. A school just got shot up,
you know, which it's different when it's a kid, because a kid hasn't matured to adulthood. So there's all kinds of other stuff going on. But when adults, you know, do that, I think this is one of those, it's a symptom of that, of this void of meaning.
Do you think that there needs to be more gun control?
I don't think it matters.
Really?
No. Because there's just so many guns.
Right.
The genie's out of the bottle, right? There are more guns in this country than there are adults.
So is there like a solution in your opinion?
No. I think the solution is to fix the society, which is not something that any politician is serious about.
What do you think is wrong with society? Is that everything we just talked about?
Okay, so let's go back to that now. When I was putting in my garden.
This is the interviewer and me coming out.
This is great. So I was putting in my garden at the start of this summer. Grew an absolutely insane amount of tomatoes and green beans. We're hoping the Brussels sprouts are going to be coming in soon.
Beans, greens, lettuce, tomatoes.
I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes.
I got a lot of jalapenos. Those were nice. Having fresh jalapenos to slice up whenever you want to put on anything.
They're none better than fresh jalapenos and fresh cilantro.
Yeah, we had cilantro.
You ever genuinely had fresh? Yeah, I'm sure you have.
We did. So that was one of the things we did this summer. We got a recipe for pico de gallo. Real fresh, real simple, real fresh. We made so much pico.
That's good stuff.
So I was putting in my garden and I was, you know, working my butt off in the hot sun and I didn't hate it at all.
Yeah.
It was great. It didn't feel like work because I knew that I owned the fruits of my labors. I wasn't doing it for a paycheck. Doing it because I was going to feed my children my labor.
It's the vegetables of your labor.
Yes. Well, a tomato is a fruit. A tomato is a fruit.
A tomato is a fruit.
Okay. What about jalapenos?
Fruits and veggies.
I don't know.
That's not a fruit. It's a pepper.
Is it a?
It's a vegetable.
I don't. These categories are stupid. I don't care. They're edible. They're edible.
Isn't it like the amount of seeds or something?
You're gonna offend like a biologist out there somewhere.
Isn't it like the amount of seeds? Isn't that what makes it a fruit? If it's like less than six or something.
No, it's not the number of seeds. It's like it has to do with whether the flower becomes the fruit or not. I think.
Okay.
But anyway, still weird. Point was, this was the first time in my life when I'd like worked really hard on a project and really felt like it wasn't work. And it gave me a little taste of that. Like, this is what work used to be like and still is for some people. Right. And that's the fundamental problem.
It scares me though. Like, is that really what makes people happy?
I think that's part of it, right? People are complicated and this is just one piece of that equation.
I feel bad for saying this, but for myself, I find myself fantasizing about I think it's probably because, you know, at one point I grew up in Section 8, but I fantasize about wealth and maybe a little bit about power, but not really so much.
Well, our society fetishizes wealth. We treat it like it's, you know, the solution for all your ailments, and it's not.
Do you think
that's really not? I look at the richest people on the planet. Do you think Elon Musk is happy?
I don't know.
He is the most miserable prick you've ever seen. He's constantly rage baiting on Twitter and just getting in stupid fights with people over just the dumbest stuff. That is the most unfulfilled man I've ever seen. And he's the richest person on the planet.
Well, I was going to message him, but I guess I can't now.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, I'm, you know.
No, you're good.
I'm not going to lie to you.
You can edit this part out.
No, I don't want to talk
to him. I think he's funny sometimes. Elon Musk. Like, all right. I got to talk about this for a little bit. I feel like I haven't really touched on this at all in this podcast. Does anyone realize how fucking hilarious it is that he bought Twitter?
Oh, it's hilarious. Absolutely.
Like, that is quite possibly the biggest trolling of the decade.
Was that satisfying to you? Because you don't like him, but do you think that was a good move?
Well, it didn't matter.
It's not
like it, dude, it was a horrendous move. It was a horrendous move. He overpaid by a whole lot. He tried to back out of the deal at the last minute, and the court forced him to go through with it because he had gone far enough down the road that he was legally obligated to follow through, right?
He was contractually obligated.
Immediately drove away like half of Twitter's sponsors, right? Twitter is a huge net loss for him. He dropped in ranking, you know, to like the third richest person in the world or whatever. And he's the richest man in the world again. It doesn't matter. When you're that rich, there is no way you can fuck up so hard that you actually lose.
But that's what I'm saying.
You are so sheltered, so shielded from the consequences of your actions that nothing you can do can ever go wrong for you.
Twitter is banned in Brazil because Musk failed to – can we look that up real quick? I think it's Brazil, but there was a judge that was like, fuck X, we're not doing this anymore because there was so much disinformation.
And, he's not complying with their local.
Careful, Brazil is turning into a.
You can say it. Oh, is that right now?
The judge in Brazil is basically trying to control the country.
Nice.
Okay, so.
Nice.
So there's two sides to the story.
Yeah.
Nice. So we got to take him out.
Well, I guess we don't really know all the facts behind this. I don't know if there's a way. Oh, and I was going to bring this up too. So there is a gentleman named Dr. Epstein.
Oh, wow. Robert that Epstein. Is one unfortunate last
and
name.
And I just sure learned about this. But there's a lot of smart people with the last name of Epstein. But basically, him and his team been using their own data. So this is what I'm guessing because I didn't listen to the whole thing. They are copying what Google is doing and how they take data, and they're seeing what they can do with it. Mm-hmm. And they're making findings of, oh, if we take a bunch of data from a bunch of random users and we can find new ways to use their data to control them. So I think they were auditing what – you know, Google does with their data as well by taking information by a lot of random people and what shows up on their feeds. And it seems like in certain, so a good example is the state that Elizabeth Warren is running in. Mm-hmm. She has said, we need to take apart Google. We need to you know, dismantle them. Google doesn't like that, you know?
No. Yeah.
So they're showing a bunch of bad stories about her, and she already has a bad past because she lied about her being like Native American or something. They're showing a bunch of bad stories about her, but there's a Republican running against her.
Anyway, sorry.
There's a Republican, I forget his name, that's running against her, and there's a bunch of really good stories about him. But they show that to conservatives, moderates, and liberals. They show it to everybody. So it's not like they're picking one side. It's not like they're just showing conservative people. Mm-hmm. And this can go for Republicans or Democrats based on who they – like what they're supporting. So maybe in another state they might also, you know, show people more of a Democrat that they like in that state. So they can kind of control the whole country, you know. They can skew votes from like 50-50 to like 90-10. They have that much control over people's thoughts, you know, based on – because people spend hours and hours on their phone all day. And on my phone, I'm a moderate, right? I mostly get conservative things on my feed. I know some people, they get mostly – but I actually haven't thinking about this.
In my understanding, that's the default. Like if you just like start a random account on any platform,
mm-hmm.
you get fed like conservative to alt-right to like outright fascist content. By default,
but
that's the baseline.
Why is there a narrative though that the left, like why is there like this like general consensus? In my opinion, but my thought on this might be skewed, that the Democrats and liberals want to do that same thing.
Because they've seen how effective it is going the other way, and I don't want to oversimplify a complicated issue, but. What social media platforms, they don't care about left or right. They don't care about politics at all. They care about attention. It's the attention economy. The longer,
that's how they make their money.
Exactly. So the more eyeballs, the longer the eyeballs, the more money, right? Very simple. And after decades of research, thank you, Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook really spearheaded this. They figured out that what gets people engaged is fear and anger.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 100%
so
true.
So the default content you get is fear and anger.
I get
and
a lot of like death videos.
Be a more conservative worldview.
Mm.
See, that's my thing. I have a very
that's a good thought.
I'm a very right-wing man, I will admit that. But like I try to keep my social media like feeds very unpolitical.
Yeah, but that takes effort, and that's my point.
It takes so much effort.
Most people are just mindlessly scrolling and just tapping whatever shows up. That's the average, right? Yeah. And if you put some effort into it, it can be a positive thing. You can see a lot of diverse perspectives. You can get introduced to a lot of really interesting people.
I can't figure it out. I only get conservative shit. And I was like, well, I want to see things on the left as well. Mm-hmm. And what's crazy is that our phones are listening to us right now. If we were to do a search right now and we didn't type anything in, there's a chance something related to what we're talking about would show up on our phone. And I noticed that years ago. They've been doing this for years.
I've noticed that too, and I still can't decide. I can't make up
it's like nuclear weapons.
Oh, dude.
Well, I can't make up my mind whether it's just there's a psychological selection effect there that you have to watch out for that could explain a large amount of that. Because, yeah, technically the microphone's always on, but the way phones are set up, they shouldn't actually be able to do that.
They do.
But
even TVs do. Samsung TVs were caught doing that.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So the fucking TVs.
I haven't read the actual research. I've long suspected that. I haven't seen any actual
data. No, it's true.
This is all, you know, anecdotal. But
you get enough anecdotes and you're like, okay, maybe there's something here.
But here's the thing. I can attest to this because I have I have that Samsung TV, right?
Yep.
I remember sometimes we were watching like Hulu or one of the streaming services on there that had ads, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember one day
that's another thing is ads pop up of things that I've been talking about, not that I searched.
That's what I'm saying. We found out because like we, you know, hadn't been home all day, you know, and my brother and I start talking about getting dinner. We go and get Chipotle, right? As soon as we turn on that TV, the first ad it plays was fucking Chipotle. Yeah. And I was like, there is no fucking way.
So with the smart TVs, it's a little bit different because like with your phone, there's actually permissions that are like controlling the microphone and like what it can hear and what it can store. And so you have more control over that. But if you get a smart TV with a remote with a built-in microphone, you have no control over that.
That's the deal.
And I can tell you,
we have one of those smart controllers.
Yeah. And the first thing I did when I got one of those was I opened up the back of it and there wasn't any way to remove the microphone. So I just gouged that thing out. I was like, my microphone is not going to be surveilling me. My TV remote is not going to be surveilling me.
That's like that's like the pettiest thing to surveillance you with. I'm not going to lie to you. That's pretty lowbrow.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
I don't think there's, but do you think this is all building up to something? Or
a nightmare dystopia. Yeah.
Do you think that
it's going to be a world of blackmailing everybody?
Do you think it's actually building up to that? Are they just doing it for money or are they even checking sometimes control us under martial law?
Well, so it's just for money, right? Because the people that are actually gathering the data are just businesses that they just want to maximize their revenue and they figured out how to do it and they're doing it, right? But here's the thing though. These massive databases of snippets of conversations that are, you know, maybe tied to names or addresses or phone numbers. There's the potential for a massive cross-referentiable database. And apart from a few companies, historically, when law enforcement, like the FBI, goes to a company and says, "Hey, we need your data," they comply.
Well, yeah. Federal organization.
Yeah. They don't have to, but they choose to. And Apple has actually stood up to this at some points. But then there's other examples.
Why would they do that though?
Why would who do it?
Why would Apple do that?
Why would they refuse?
Yeah.
Because they still stand something to gain by protecting their reputation.
That's a good point.
Remember, anytime any company does anything, whether it's perceived by the public as a woke move or a, you know, conservative move or whatever.
But like,
anytime any company does anything, it's because they think it's going to maximize their revenue. Mm-hmm. They cannot do anything else.
Mm.
That's all companies can do. They're obligated by law to increase shareholder revenue.
Yeah.
And if that means acting like a sociopath, they're going to do it. Mm. So
anything to pay off the investors. That's basically what every business is about.
Yeah, any publicly traded company is obligated by law to increase shareholder returns.
We should invest in Google.
I've thought about it.
Sounds like a
good... I also thought about investing in Tesla.
See, I'm lucky. I don't have any money to invest. But that's, to me, that's a real ethical question.
Yeah.
Is it's like the companies that are most profitable, that would give you the best return on investment, mm-hmm. are unethical.
Yeah.
Right? Are actively making the world a worse place. So you're investing in making the world a worse place. That's the only way to make money.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to build wealth, if you're trying to retire someday, you are priced into doing that. So we're all complicit in this really gross system of exploitation, mm-hmm. because it's the only way we can build lives for ourselves. Or, you know, otherwise you're just poor and you don't have money to invest in. You don't matter anyways.
Do you think there's a way out of the rat race?
I mean, yeah. The step one is you have to make enough money to be able to
get rich as fuck, dude.
So you have to have enough initial capital.
I mean, if you get rich, right, then that money is going to be in investments, right? So you're invested now. You're invested in the system. You know, I think the answer is you find something that you enjoy doing, that you can make enough money doing to be comfortable, to have, you know, to not be worrying about rent, to not be worrying about groceries, to have some nice things. And then you settle for less. You realize that what really is going to be, if you give you long lasting, real happiness, isn't the latest iPhone or a new car. It's stuff like I was saying earlier. It's like growing your own food. That's a source of real happiness and contentment, you know? Participating in local politics, if you're really passionate about politics, building, like working in your community.
What's something that brings you a lot of happiness?
My kids.
That's a good answer.
I mean,
me too.
It's my, you know, before my wife and I decided to have kids, I, you know, made the conscious decision, like, if I'm going to do this, then they're going to be the reason. At first it was, you know, just one child. Then like this child is going to be my purpose and I'm going to sacrifice as much as I need to for them. And my needs will be secondary. And I still feel that way now that I've got two. You know, that doesn't mean sometimes I need to get away from them. Right. Like right now, my wife's putting my kids to bed. I mean, they're both so different, right? Like my son, it's funny. Like my son ended up being like a little mini me, and my daughter is a little mini Liz.
Oh,
she's,
wow.
They're like down to like the strengths and weaknesses. Mm. And it almost feels like, you know, my son is a chance for me to figure out like, there were so many problems I had as a kid that I see him starting to have. He's a lot better off than I was as far as social issues. Like I was really socially awkward. I had a really rough, I had loving parents, but socially I was very awkward.
Me too.
He has some of the same issues and it's like, this is a do-over for me. This is a chance for me to, from an adult perspective with so much more experience, I can look at what's happening and give him guidance because I love my parents to death and they taught me so much about the world, but they didn't really know how to help me navigate those social problems. I had to figure it out for myself. And it took me to adulthood.
Me too.
To figure that out.
No, but now, I just got good at this a few years ago. Like,
yeah, no.
You know what I'm saying?
So I'm here. Still working on it. I ain't gonna lie to you.
You know, and it's
still working on it.
It's a journey, right? And when you look at life that way, it's not about it's not a destination that you reach. It's a journey that you're always on. You're always changing. You're always growing. Mm-hmm. You're always learning. But I can use my experiences of overcoming those challenges to give my son tools that my parents couldn't give me because they didn't face those challenges. They had their own challenges that didn't line up with the challenges I faced. Right. And so my son being so similar to the way I was, like I have so much I can offer him.
You know, sometimes I get afraid with my son. Sometimes I'm kind of afraid of like, what if I can't stop the same situations that happened to me to mm-hmm. happen to him? You know, and I feel and like
that's a possibility.
I would feel like a failure if he had to go through the same experiences, you know, that I had to go through. I'm fairly confident that he's not going to have the same upbringing that I had, but there's still that you have to have that like acceptance of their life is not going to be perfect.
No. Absolutely. And I think about that, about how, you know, you want so desperately to protect your children from pain, mm-hmm. but on the other hand, suffering and pain are necessary for growth.
Yeah.
They're necessary conditions. And I don't mean that in like a weird masochistic way, but I mean like, it's like flipping it around. Like it's like growth is painful. Growth does result in suffering. And some, you know, but I think back to, you know, some of my darkest moments, like they were transformative for me. Like I came through the other end and I was a better person. I was a stronger person. I was a more complete human being.
Which is good, because for some people, I think adversity either makes or breaks you.
It does. Well, it does. And that's the thing, is that not everybody survives the process. Right. To do a really cheap metaphor, like not all butterflies emerge from their chrysalises.
Yeah.
Right? Like a lot of them just die in there. They struggle to break free and they just... Chrysalis?
Yeah, chrysalis.
Plurals are tricky, right?
No, it just sounds
chrysali.
Like...
Words.
Crystalli, yeah.
Crystalli. Yes. I don't know. But... You know, it's not everybody makes it,
yeah.
But it's the struggle, and it's trying to make it.
Maybe that's what makes it.
It shapes you.
This is another thought I had, and it's like kind of unfortunate, but so for that, for example, the fact that it's so special that you've gone through, or me or Will or Nick, you know, we've all gone through these moments in our life that, you know, were dark moments, and we came out better people for it.
But, oh, I'm so much better because of it.
But is the reason why it's so special is because there's other people that didn't come through on the other side like a better person?
I don't think so.
So if everyone came through better on the other side, would it have the same meaning or feeling?
I think so. Because it's not
do you get what I'm saying?
I do. I think I understand what you're saying. I don't see it because it's not a competition. Right. It's not about beating the competition. Right. That's what makes what I'm talking about fundamentally different from the rat race. Mm-hmm. Right. Because I think a lot of people will take what I'm saying and maybe take it the wrong way and map it to like, oh, well, you gotta hustle harder and work more hours each week and get a fourth job and
sometimes
get a fifth job.
You
so
do,
you can
but
grind
that shouldn't
win.
Be.
Well, sometimes you have no choice.
Yeah, sometimes you do have to do that.
It depends on your financial situation.
That shouldn't be the only solution.
Well, I think that's separate is what I'm saying from what I'm talking about. I'm talking about personal growth,
yeah,
which exists in isolation of other people's growth as human beings.
It's a controlled system.
It's about personal development, you know. Mm. And I would love a world where everybody did make it through. You know, I would love a world where every butterfly emerged from its chrysalis, because a butterfly is a beautiful, miraculous thing.
You ever seen A Bug's Life?
Oh, I love that.
Great movie.
Classic.
Great movie.
Who's that fucking caterpillar?
Boysenberry.
Boysenberry.
I have to do this for my son. Look at me. I'm a beautiful butterfly.
I'm a beautiful butterfly.
So I had... I have another story for you guys to kind of switch tracks here. Will, do you mind pulling up the next news story I had ready for us?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no.
Here it is.
Oh, Christ.
And this happened in Ohio.
Oh, geez.
Or, I'm sorry, Michigan.
Oh,
boy,
my God.
Wait, go back up. Go back up. Boy, 10 years old, crushed to death by 340-pound foster mom after she sat on him for misbehaving.
Get the literal fuck out of here.
Charged with involuntary manslaughter after her 340-pound frame caused the death of 10-year-old Dakota, Michigan. This is absolutely terrible.
You deserve every bit of death that's coming your way.
Yeah, I don't know how some... Like, was it because she was trying to, like, play a game with him? Or was it a punishment?
It's sounds punishment.
Like punishment. Can you go down so I can see this? Sorry, I don't...
For misbehaving. Jesus Christ.
The foster mom claimed Dakota began to misbehave, throwing himself on the ground. She sat on Dakota while contacting his caseworker during... Oh, so he's a foster child.
Yeah, as a foster
mom. Oh my God.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, parents kill their kids. That happens.
Yeah. Especially to like foster kids. That's such a terrible situation to be. I mean, do you think that there's a better you know, situation that can be had for kids that get taken away from their parents is, you know, other than the foster system?
I don't know. It's
this is something getting dark. I don't I'm really so like sorry. To think about.
Bad, no, it's like another thing about that. It's another thing where it's like I don't see a good solution, you know.
Yeah. Dude, I skip past the ASCPA commercials. You really think I'm thinking about that?
Yeah, no.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Go on.
No, there's just, I mean, there's a lot of kids in the foster care system, and some of them make it to good homes, and some of them don't.
Yeah.
What? Can and there's look and up there's the, probably
percentage of that.
There's probably a lot of kids that were wrongfully taken away from their parents.
Yeah, I'm sure that's happened.
It goes both ways, and so the system is there to try to do good, mm-hmm. but does it ultimately do good? I don't know.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I think because I do. Okay, so it says in 2022, 27% of children who left foster care were adopted. Oh my God! So less than a third are adopted. So that means yeah. all the other ones just can, you know, stay in the system.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Sometimes they just kind of 46%
reunited. Wait, what?
Yeah, under that.
46%. Oh, okay. I'm sure.
Who left? 40% of the children who left foster care in 2022 were reunited with their families. So there's some contingencies.
And then 11% were put in guardianship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Emancipation. What is that? What is that number? Emancipation was. What is that? 18,000.
So those are kids that reached adulthood, right?
And they just like, yeah, they just
like, you're on your own now, buddy. Good luck.
Well, they chose I wonder what they do to be them. On their own.
I don't know. I'm sure there's some kind of, yeah, they must give them something, but yeah. I mean, so just to flip it around, to give a perspective that I hadn't considered until, my friend told me about this. He works in plumbing. He's a plumber, works for a company, and you know, he's in some houses where, the conditions are just horrible. And these are people that rent, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, there's all these problems that the landlord should deal with. And these people are afraid to, what they've told the landlord multiple times, like, you need to fix this. And the landlord doesn't. And these people are afraid to escalate it anywhere else for fear of having their children taken away from them. When they don't have control over these circumstances, and they're afraid to ask for help.
Wait. Who's afraid to ask help from who?
People who are renting from landlords that do not maintain their properties.
Oh, I see.
Because yep. if a child protective services agent walked in there, they'd be like, "Oh, we are so taking these kids away from you."
Oh my God!
Right?
Because like the place just looks like shit because the landlord
right. doesn't and do so, anything. Yeah. So, what is the system doing in that context? It's working for the landlords.
Yeah.
Right. So it's very complicated. There's all these different angles you have to consider. And that's the problem when you're designing systems like this, mm-hmm. is you have to consider every single contingency, every yeah. single possible angle, every way it could be misused. And ultimately, mm-hmm. every system is going to get misused. There is no such thing as a perfect system, right? I think ultimately the problem is scale. I don't think humans are very good at designing social systems that operate at scale. Mm. And if we want to go, you know, talk about human history now, you know, for 200,000 years, we lived in groups of like 100 to 150.
That's a good point.
I've kind of reached the point. I don't think that human social networks scale well beyond. There's this number called the Dunbar number. Which is, I think it's around 150. There are multiple Dunbar numbers, but like the basic one, it's somewhere between 100 and 150. And that is the number of people that your average person can have an intimate relationship, a close relationship with.
And it's 150?
It's around 150.
I don't even know if I know 100 people, do I? I guess if I counted, I would
feel like close. I do know 100 people, and my friends like, with 100 people know.
Right. But that's about the maximum number that, you know, you could be in community, in real community with. You know, and we've got communities, 100,000, 200,000, 300,000, a million people. That's not a community. We call it a community, but it's not, because you can't actually be in community with that many people. It just doesn't work. At a certain point, your neighbors, you know, you might know your neighbor on the left and on the right and across the street, but a couple houses down, they're strangers to you. right? So you're living in close proximity with strangers, which leads to the potential for a climate of fear where you don't trust those people because you don't, you're not really in community with them.
How many close friends do you think is a normal amount to have?
I mean, these days it varies a lot. Some people don't have any friends, you know?
How many friends do you think you have?
Like genuine friends? Mm-hmm. Shit, probably like 10 or 15.
Really? That's a lot.
I would say I have like maybe five really close friends and then a larger circle of maybe 15.
Well, okay, like really like, deep in there, I'd probably say like, yeah, like five or six.
Yeah.
Like really, really close. I'd probably stretch that to eight, you know?
Yeah.
Because a lot of my closer friends have like moved away, so like that's obviously I don't see them very often.
Yeah,
you know, shouts out to Austin and Chris Fred, Austin Osborne, Chris Fred, love you. Anyway, but yeah, like when it comes to like people that I trust, I'd probably put that around like 15.
Yeah,
besides like the family, obviously.
Right, right, and you then know, your family is like, a different kind of
family. That's a whole different thing in and of itself.
You're gonna make me jealous.
What?
I'm just joking.
I mean, it's just because like I think me just being an attention whore had a lot to do with that, you know, like, cause like me being an attention whore that I am or was still kind of am, like, you know, I didn't care if I was just like acting crazy and whatever, like at a bar, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't care if I walked up to someone and just said, what's up? Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it didn't really faze me. Yeah, it does now. Like, I won't just like walk up to somebody anymore. Fuck that shit.
What do you think?
I got enough friends.
What's you know? Like the reason that someone would have no friends for? Do you think it's like
anti-socialism, dude?
I would say it's because our communities have been destroyed by a number of, I basically say, business practices.
Oh, you think so?
And also just there's too many people. Yeah. I mean,
like, you know, how you
urban, like urban sprawl, the highway system, like a lot of communities, like actual communities of, you know, 100, 200 people were destroyed by the implementation of the highway system.
I'm pretty sure that Nazi Germany started the highway system. I'm pretty positive. I'm you look that up?
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
I think we copied them. We actually got a lot of their scientists too. NASA was started by like scientists from Nazi Germany.
CIA was full of Nazi intelligence officers.
Operation Paperclip. Yeah, you're right. No. Yeah,
there was basically where they took war criminals and said, "Go away forever or work for us."
There was a base in Germany after World War II where Americans and former like SS officers lived and worked together to combat the USSR.
Oh my God.
Because as soon as Germany was defeated, you know, the US was like, okay, communists are next.
Yeah.
Right. You know, after Russia basically helped win the war. Like,
how have the aliens not stopped us yet? This is insanity.
Apparently they have two dead ones in Mexico.
I don't think they would tell
us. So, no, they did.
I don't think they would tell us where they were, though.
Did you see the dead bodies that they brought out?
I don't know if I believe that. Do you believe that?
No, I've seen. I mean, it's been faked so many times.
Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. They did it in front of like a government like facility.
Why do you think the government admitted that they had UAPs?
Well, because the evidence was. I mean, they couldn't suppress the evidence, but also because it was advantageous for them too, because it's spectacle.
Yeah.
Well, also, right. Yeah, it takes away attention from the real issues.
Right. And there's always been stuff like that's unexplained. It's just that now we've got ubiquitous, everyone's got a smartphone, right? You've got ubiquitous surveillance, basically, both by the government
so
and
it's a
by
give and take.
Private
they,
people.
They can control us, but they also have to give up some secrets.
I don't think it's that they had to. I think it's that they said, I mean, they saw it as an opportunity. You know, if you look at the timing of things like that, there's always, you can always formulate this person would have benefited from the strategically releasing this information at this time. Mm-hmm. Again, it's like companies, you know, like I was saying earlier, like they don't do anything unless they think it's going to increase their profit.
Do you think it's more likely that aliens come from outer space, or do you think they've been here all along?
We just don't know that they're aliens.
Okay, so it depends on what you mean by aliens, right? Because there's this really cool hypothesis that all life originated in the early universe, because there was a period after the Big Bang when basically the entire universe would have been between 0 and 100 degrees Celsius, which means liquid water could just exist in space.
Do you think life could form that quickly, though? Do you think it took 13.8 billion years for life to form?
No. That's what I'm saying. Is that
billion years to form?
That's what I'm saying. And so there's this really interesting.
How would you know that, though?
Okay, so there's a curve. If you look at the length of genomes of organisms, it follows an exponential curve, right? And so you've got like the earliest ones we found. There's still a certain length of genome, mm-hmm. and if you run that curve backwards, then it begins right around the shortest possible genome for the simplest conceivable life forms. It begins around that period when the entire universe was between 0 and 100 degrees Celsius. So that's actually strong evidence.
Okay.
It's not a eukaryote?
Prokaryote, right? Eukaryotes have a nucleus.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
You'll learn today.
What?
I'm probably saying it backwards. Somebody look it up.
I learned.
I'm not a biologist. I always get them mixed
up.
But
I'm not a rapper.
I fucking love those fucking videos. Super hot fire.
What the hell?
Prokaryote.
Okay, yeah, prokaryotes have the nucleus. So eukaryotes were the pre-nucleus, like the simplest stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So it's circumstantial evidence, but it's like, you know, okay, why did the earliest life that we've ever found on Earth have these really long genomes when we can see that the longer life exists, the longer its genome gets? Why did it start with this really long length? There's no explanation for it.
There's a theory that the aliens, or maybe things that were... There's a bunch of theories, but one of them is that they were here, they left, and they've come back, right? There's another one that's they came from outer space, now they're here, and they've, you know, taken like monkeys and put their own DNA into monkeys and created us. That's another theory. There's a bunch of them.
Isn't that just like the plot of Alien Prometheus?
Yeah, it is.
The problem with those kinds of theories is that they're unfalsifiable, and aliens are just like... too easy. It's like too easy of a way to explain, and it requires.
It's kind of fun to think about, though.
No, it's absolutely fun. I just don't take it seriously as like a scientific hypothesis, right? And I think as a valid scientific hypothesis, I don't actually know the name of this hypothesis. I don't know if it has like a catchy name, but the idea that all life everywhere in the universe has a common origin, I think, is super cool. That like that would imply if all life originated at, you know, like 500 million years after the Big Bang. Or something like that. If all life originated from that time period, that's basically what's called panspermia, which is the idea that life didn't form on Earth. It fell to Earth or it was on Earth when the Earth was forming, right?
Why'd they put the word sperm in there? Will's like, whatever.
Linguistics.
Whatever, dude. Whatever.
That's linguistics for you.
What are we doing on time?
Okay,
we can wrap up soon.
My lifetime.
Anyways, yeah. To end on a good note, Henry Cavill was probably going to play Titus in Warhammer.
Henry Cavill?
I forgot there. That's right, because he's a huge Warhammer nerd.
There was something I sent
Wait,
to you.
Wait,
this is like his passion
Warhammer
project.
Movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like his passion. This is why he left The Witcher. It's because he's like, I don't want to be Geralt anymore. I want to be Warhammer.
Because they weren't sticking with the original Witcher story. But now...
Right. Because he was also a big fan of that.
Right. But now Henry Cavill is going to be, you know, included in the writing and shit.
Oh, nice.
So dope.
He's going to make sure that it's done right.
That's actually a game cool. I never played. Like, I never got into yet. Like, I just never taken the opportunity was Warhammer 40K.
It's early days. But Warhammer, I mean, there's nothing more close to your heart than this, I know.
It is the greatest privilege of my professional career. To have this opportunity, I can't say too much again. It's early days still, but to have this opportunity to bring it to the screen and be at the tiller, so it can be faithful, is key to me, and this is the stuff I've been dealing with since I was a kid. Yeah. This is sort of is the stuff I spend my free time daydreaming about, yep, as an adult as well, and I get to bring it into life. And there is no greater reason than I joined the industry than doing something like this, and I'm very happy to be here.
It's early days.
So, yeah, that's so dope.
That's cool.
Did you guys see, speaking of like video game movies, did you guys see the trailer for Sonic the Hedgehog 3?
I haven't seen it yet. Everybody's talking about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Keanu Reeves
yeah,
as Shadow the Hedgehog.
That's badass.
Can you believe that shit? Like, no better choice.
We're going to go see it.
I'm sure I'll see it with my kids.
Dude, you have to. I'm not going to lie to you, though. I don't know if any of y'all checked out the Knuckles series that they had on. Kid Cudi was in it, you know, cool. And he was actually good.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to watch it, but dude, I don't know what, like, all right. Obviously, I'm 29 fucking years old. That series was not made for me. You know what I mean?
It was made for you.
It was made for my generation. We're the ones who grew up with it.
I'm saying you as a person.
It was made for me. But, like, I couldn't even get through it. It was just, like, it was more childish than I could handle.
Oh, I see.
Because, like, the movie's pretty childish, but still was entertaining to me.
Yeah.
A movie is different from a series, right? Like, a movie is 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many episodes it was.
Six episodes. And those movies are
6 hours.
They're made to engage families.
Right. And exactly. So there's something there. There's a little bit of like adult humor that the kids won't get.
Yeah.
You know, that's always woven in. Mm-hmm. But like, so I can sit through a 2 hour kids movie.
Yeah. Same.
I couldn't sit through
a 6 hour kids movie.
No.
Who could?
No. Yeah. But like the beginning of it, I didn't even watch the second episode. I'm not going to lie to you. I got all the way through the first episode and I was just like, I liked it, but I was still just like, God, I don't even know.
This ain't for me.
If I can watch another, you know? And I wanted to because things were like getting good, but then I was just like, dude, I can't fucking do this.
Yeah.
You know? But it was still good, you know?
Was it Idris Elba? Did he do
it? It was Idris Elba. That's the thing that made me want to watch it.
Yeah, exactly. He's the selling point for me.
Dude, him as Knuckles and then Keanu Reeves as freaking Shadow.
That's pretty cool.
That is the most killer lineup I've ever heard.
Keanu Reeves, he gives back the money he makes from his movies to his cast. He gives like 10 grand to everyone every quarter or something like that.
That's why he's like the best actor out there.
Yeah, that's probably why they keep him, you know, making it.
That's why he keeps
doing
things.
I want to make a movie with him. I would want to make a movie with him. I'd take him to a Cheesecake Factory.
Dude, did you see that? You guys remember that iconic moment he had at E3? I think it was E3 where he was on stage presenting Cyberpunk.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And like that lady screamed, I love you. He's like, I love you too. Like, that's when I was like, this is the guy right here. You know?
I'm thinking we end it there, guys.
I think that's a good place to wrap it up as well.
Yeah.
Colin, thank you so much for coming on the show again.
It's been a pleasure. We apologize
for losing that last episode. But like you said, we still have the audio, so that'll probably be coming to Patreon very, very soon once we get that up and running. We also want to give out a huge, huge shout out to Jeff Stitzer for making our glorious intro today that you heard at the beginning of the video. Thank you so much, Jeff.
A marvelous man.
Marvelous man. A scholar. A scholar, if I do say so myself. For those who don't know, Jeff Stitzer is the voice of God in multiplayer in the Halo games. So go check out his work. By that, I mean go play Halo multiplayer. Go play Halo. It's the greatest game ever made, to be quite honest with you. Until Halo 4, you know. Anyway, I'll keep that opinion out. But anyway, thank you again, Colin, for so much for being on the show. Everyone, please like and subscribe to get more Eagle Boys content. And we will see you folks on the next episode.
Peace.